Hey, today on Real Clear, the Fed cut the rate, but are mortgage rates falling? That, and what about this buyer-agent agreement thing? Is that a good thing for buyers or not? All today on Real Clear.
Welcome to Real Clear,
where we
keep things clear right here. My name's Brad.
And I'm Brian. Nice to have you with us.
Absolutely. Nice to see everybody, or nice to hear everybody, right?
Yeah, and it's nice to be around in this really nice weather that we're having finally, right, man?
100%. Yeah, this is it. This is the best time of the year.
It sure is. No question about that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But there's been some interesting stuff going on. I'm sure everybody's been following what's going on with the Fed. And finally, they're cutting rates and all of that. Mortgage rates had started to come down. I think a lot of people, Brad, we're expecting a little more action in mortgage rates. I mean, what's your thought on that?
In fact, at least to the stock market, in anticipation, the prices and the stocks have went up on, some of the, Redfin and some of the mortgage and housing companies. And in fact, they thought a quarter of percent, not a half, right? So when it turned out to be a half a percent, well, that's an even bigger thing. But in anticipation, the banks have already lowered it. So we're already, under six. So, they knew it was coming, and rightfully so, we needed it to happen because now this is the lowest interest we've had in over 2 years.
Yeah, it's spectacular. And I think people are still anticipating it to fall a little bit more, and let's hope it does. And I don't think it's to the point where people are ready to refi or anything like that. But if you're looking to buy, it's certainly a better circumstance than it was a while back. And it seems like the trajectory is going in that downward direction, which we all would like to see and get things moving again. Got some pretty good inventory on the market. And so if you're looking to buy, it's not a bad time to do it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, interest rates were 7.79 March of 2023. So we're under sixes right now, and that's for a 30-year. So that's a big number. And even in price, even though, we kind of talked about the median home prices even shot up just a little bit from where it was in March of 2023, your house payment's still like $400 less if you go to buy a house right now with that interest rate. So it's huge.
Yeah, it really is. It's a major impact. And so hopefully people are now ready to kind of get off the sidelines and start making some moves.
I think it's the election, man. I mean, people still are waiting for the election. I mean, they're for whatever reason, there's this big deal one way or another that things are really going to change. But, people are still waiting.
Yeah, I know. And I think historically, things don't change that much, right? I mean,
exactly.
I heard something the other day that said housing prices are usually really good during election cycles.
Yep.
In terms of good, meaning they're very stable, they don't drop, those kind of things. So maybe that's why people are waiting, is they're waiting for things after the election to maybe things will come down a little bit more. But again, as we said before, interest rates start dropping. That's going to bring people off the sidelines, and it's going to drive prices up some, probably. But it may be a while before that happens,
Yeah, I think, the applications are up. I'm, in tune with the mortgage side of it as well. And applications are definitely up. So that's a big plus. And, a lot of people out there are pre-approved and ready to go. And in fact, everybody got to see there was a Wall Street Journal article about Jacksonville. It was basically selling in Jacksonville. It's rough right now unless your home is, in the $1 million. And kind of the gist of the article was, a Jekyll and Hyde market where, the non-luxury properties have, the prices have come down, but the high end just continues to thrive. I mean, it's, and a lot of that too. What do you think, Brian? Is there a lot of, is that cash buyers well over $1 million?
Yeah, that's what I would think. And even if they're not fully cash buyers, they're probably putting 70-80% down on the home so that they're not as influenced, I guess, by higher interest rates. But, who knows what the reason is. I think it is a sign. And, if you're looking for a good part about this, is I think it's a sign that the Jacksonville market which to some degree got a little stagnant there for a while. It seems like it is really picking up and heating up, which is great for everybody. I think the economy is really strong here. We've got some great things going. And that to me is probably the biggest indicator of why, you know, you've got luxury homes that are selling pretty strongly right now. But, you know, cash, I think, is probably the biggest reason, because if you have cash to pay, then you're not as concerned about what it costs in right. terms of the borrowing side of it. So that's the only thing I can think of. I'm sure there may be some other reasons, but I don't think it's a bad sign at all. I mean, certainly if you need to buy a house in the $600,000-$700,000 range, and a lot of people do because their families are growing and things like that. But they're you know, with the interest rates coming down and things like that, I think we're heading toward a much better situation for people who are needing to buy. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was very interesting. There was a gentleman on there who's kind of an expert in housing. He does a daily update every day on what's going on. It's called Housing Wire, I believe. And his point was, and I hadn't really thought about this, in terms of the affordability of housing. And he said, you know, the truth of the matter is, and I think this whole conversation was about something we'll talk about in a few minutes, which is more about some of the changes in the commission structure for real estate agents and that kind of thing. And some people, I think, have the thought that, well, if we can reduce some of the cost of buying, like agent commissions and things like that, then that will affect affordability. And his point on this was, it's like, well, the truth is the amount that really affects affordability is pretty minor. And for a couple of different reasons, which I'll go through in a minute. But his main point was, he said, look, the biggest thing we need is an increase in supply. We need builders to build, and we need an atmosphere where they want to build. And he said, we need some, you know, local communities and governments to encourage building and to be more friendly to it. And if we can get more homes out there, new homes on the market, that is eventually going to take care of a lot of this, because it's a supply issue. Yep. Supply, you know, when you have limited supply, it's going to drive prices up. It's just basic economics. But I think that's something that we all are hoping for. And certainly there's a lot of new construction building that's been going on in Jacksonville, and it's continuing. So I think that's good all the way around. And hopefully we can get to a market that is affordable for people and their families, where they can buy the home that they need at an interest rate that means that they don't have to spend too much of their total income on housing.
Right. I agree completely. And a lot of it too. I mean, I know you had mentioned, you know, that kind of that 600,000 to 700,000 range. And I've got a chart real quick. I just wanted to
throw let's take
out.
A look.
Yeah. So
yeah,
this shows days on the market for August. So last year, August 2024, or last month, sorry. And this kind of shows, I don't know if you can see at the bottom, it has the dollar amounts that have paid and how many days on each category. So the 1.5 million is all the way here to the right, 1.5 million and up. So right now we have the average is 45 days on the market. 1 million to 1.5 million is 36 days in the market. 750 to 1 million is 51 days on the market. And then the big boy, $600,000 to $750,000 homes. It's taken 72 days on the market is the average, and pretty well balanced after that in the 40s and 50s and all the other categories. So very interesting chart. Not saying that Wall Street Journal is wrong, but this was for August, and it's really showing that 600 to 749 range are the ones that aren't selling as much or fast.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's nice. Wall Street Journal is a very well-respected publication. And to have Jacksonville featured in something like this, I think is good for the whole community. Yeah, so good stuff all the way around there. And kind of speaking of some of the things I was just referring to on the whole the new rules that we have here involved in real estate. And just, we've spoken about this before on the podcast, but I wanted kind of to just review if you are a buyer and you want to go look at a home, your realtor is going to ask you to sign a document. It's a contract. And it's what we call in Berkshire Hathaway an exclusive buyer representation agreement. Before you can go look at a home with a realtor, you must sign that. That's not something that Berkshire is mandating. It is something that is part of the lawsuit settlement that with the NAR. And so that's out there. The thing about it is, and some people will say, hey, some realtors aren't members of the NAR, and so they don't have to make you sign this agreement. And there is some truth to that. However, the vast majority of realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors for a lot of reasons, and I don't want to even get into why. But the thing you have to understand on all of this, if you think you can skirt around this, temporarily you might be able to get away with it if you can find a realtor that's not associated with the NAR. However, the Justice Department has made it very clear that they are really interested in this whole situation. And I think it's reasonable to assume that the rules of the settlement are going to be made into law, maybe with some changes, but certainly this particular buyer's agreement that has to be signed. But the reasons, and I think this is important, I'd love to get your thoughts on it, but the reason here that we think it's a good thing for buyers is that it provides real transparency into how the process is working. There are a couple things I'd like to point out in our agreement. The first thing that happens in here is it clearly states how much, if I'm going to be your buyer's agent, it clearly states how much that is going to cost you as the buyer. That's a negotiable thing that we will discuss, and then we will fill that amount in based on what you as the buyer and I as the agent agree to. So we'll agree to that. It's negotiable. We'll talk about it and we'll come to something that makes sense to both of us. So that's transparency. That's a good thing right there. The other thing that's very important in here is it says that we are going to first look to a seller to see if the seller would like to provide, as sellers have done in the past, if they would like to pay my buyer's agent for you, which is what's happened traditionally. So it's not like buyers haven't had to pay something. They have. It's just that traditionally the sellers have just stepped in and paid it. That's pretty much going to continue. But this states that that's the first avenue we're going to take. So you have transparency in knowing what this is going to cost you, which I think is really important. We can make this, the next thing here is the term of this contract. We can make it as short or as long as you as a buyer want to make it. And I literally mean, we can make it one day. If you have a house that you really want to see and you want to sign this for one day, we can do that. Most people are more like, hey, well, I want you to represent me. So let's make this 3 months, 6 months, whatever, until I find a house. But it's very clearly laid out. And it's also clear that you can get out of the agreement through mutual agreement between me as your agent and you. And the truth is, if you don't want me to be your agent, I really don't want to try to hold you to something. And no realtor that I know wants to work with someone who doesn't want that realtor with them. So I think this is a good thing. The other thing that for us, as we've talked about before, is this agreement calls for single agent status for us as an agent. And we have to tell you what that means as part of this agreement. And what that means is we must disclose to buyers and sellers our duties as single agents, which includes dealing honestly and fairly, loyalty, confidentiality, obedience to you as our buyer, only to you, full disclosure, accounting for all funds, skill, care, and diligence in the transaction, presenting all offers in a timely manner, disclosing all known facts and that materially affect the value of a property. Those things we have to legally say to you and let you know, because we are bound by law by you signing this agreement. And to me, that is something that as a buyer is extremely important to you, because you know that you're getting an agent whose only loyalty is to you. And that is an important part of all of this process. So sorry for getting on a soapbox on that, but I think it's important that people understand what these agreements are and that they're in my opinion, very largely weighted to the advantage of the buyer, as it should be, in my opinion.
I think so too. And I think a lot of it, you know, even the buyers, I think there's the negotiation part. It's going to be more detailed and we're going to earn our money a little bit more on that negotiation side. But as a buyer, absolutely. I haven't had any issue. Every buyer has signed a buyer's rep and they understand. And like you said, it's mutual. So we need to work together. If you don't want to work with me, that's fine. And if I don't want to work with you, that it's okay. That doesn't mean that that's, you know, even though we have a contract for a certain date, it's pretty easy to get out of. And we don't want to overcomplicate it, but I agree. I think it's going to bring a lot more clarity. And if you're a buyer, look, we're going to discuss every home that we look at, every home that we go and preview even beforehand. We're going to look and see, you know, if they're offering commission or if we need to go a different route and just add that in our offer. So not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think it's going to make it all stronger for everybody in the long run.
Yeah. 100% agree. 100% agree. It's change. And you know, a lot of people are a little concerned about all that, but one thing I think is really important, because I don't think people should assume that by signing this, they are obligated to pay that buyer's agent anything if they decide not to work with them anymore. You know, we don't get paid as realtors until a home closing happens. So if you are looking at homes and you decide you want to change realtors and you haven't found a home, you can change. You don't owe that realtor anything. So it's not like there's any monetary outlay that goes on until you actually find a home with whatever agent you're working with.
Yep.
And then you get to closing and then the agent gets paid. And many times the agent has forked out quite a bit of money and time and everything else in advance before they get a dime. So it just something to be aware of. It's not going to cost you anything until you actually sign a contract on a home and then go to closing.
Yep.
Couple of other things. And this happened over the weekend with me. A lot of times what we do as realtors is either for a seller, if they need to do some renovations to their home or some minor things or major things, or if a buyer really likes a home but says, you know, I want to do some work on it, we are many times asked to recommend vendors or contractors or people to do some of that work. And we do that. We'll recommend. We usually try to recommend two or three and ask you to make sure you interview two or three. But last weekend, I was at an inspection for a client, and it was a buyer we were representing, and they were going to be in the home that was being inspected, which is, of course, the home they were buying. So they were going to be there for a few hours, which is, by the way, traditional. If you make an offer on a home, it's accepted. You're going to do an inspection, and the buyer is usually present with the inspector during that inspection. And that's a 3 or 4 hour process. So the buyer said, hey, we're going to do these renovations, so I'm going to have these contractors and some other vendors come over to talk to me to give me estimates. And I was kind of on the sideline as they did that. And it was very interesting to me to see the different ways that vendors would come and approach the clients. And so I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about what you should be looking for if you're interviewing someone to do work on your home. And because I think it's important, you could be dropping some pretty good money. So what do you look for in terms of a good contractor or a vendor? And the things I'm coming up with, Brad, are pretty much common sense, but it really crystallized with me as I was kind of a bystander watching the process go on. Some of those vendors, they were doing some work in their kitchen. They were also replacing some flooring actually throughout the whole house. And so there were probably 4 or 5 different vendors that came in to give them bids on various pieces of that. Some came in, they were right on time when they came in the morning. They, we're really good about explaining not only what kind of experience they had, but who were their subcontractors? Who was it that they worked with? Some of them said, you know, listen, I've the people I work with as my subs, I've been working with for 30 years. And it gives you some peace of mind to think, okay, this is someone who's been in business a long time, has these folks, and knows what they're doing. A couple of other things, it was more like, how do they come up with their cost estimate? How does that process work? And once they do that, do you have negotiation involved in that? What kind of contract do they want you to sign? How much money do you need to put down to get the work started? Things like that. How do they want to be paid? Those are all things that are very important in the interview process, because you're going to have to make some decisions that are pretty important to you. And I think it's just important to think very clearly about those types of things, right?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, I agree completely. The thing that gets me, and you know, things that I look for, obviously, are they organized? Are they punctual? That means something. If you tell me you're going to be here, I'm early for everything. And if you have a really low bid, or if you have a really high bid compared to others, you know, what gives? And I know a lot of people are going to, you know, you're going to use Google and you're going to really research. And I know a lot of the ones that I've dealt with, contractors, they'll show me pictures of the things that they did. And that's fantastic. I always say, hey, let me reach out to that person and just talk to them.
Yep.
And that way I can, you know, I can find out the real truth, because, you know, there's a lot of little things to keep in mind with those, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think you mentioned something there. It's we all want to, nobody wants to pay more money than they have to. But I think it's the important thing here is you're getting work done on your home. You're going to live with that for a long time. And it's really important that you recognize. And that's why getting multiple bids is important. Just like you said, you're going to get high and low bids. And if some, you know, you get a couple of bids and they're fairly close to each other, and then somebody comes in way under.
Yeah.
You really have to wonder about that. It sounds enticing, but A, how did they come in way under? B, are they going to come back in the middle of the process and start wanting to jack the price up?
Yep.
And all of those kind of things. I mean, I feel like, I don't know, it's just the way I look at things, but I feel like people are worth the money. And that if you nickel and dime them to death, they might take the business, but they're going to be looking for ways to cut corners the whole time, because you've taken all their profit out of it and they need to get something back. So those are just some things I think when you're working with a vendor. But back to the point of realtors, it's like, you know what? That's what we do. We help with all of that. We can be as involved in that process as you want. Typically, it's more a matter of us offering two or three people, contractors or vendors, that we know have a good reputation, but we want you to interview them and find the ones that you feel good with and make your own decisions on that. Just interesting stuff. Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, some upcoming guests that we are looking to get on are going to be contractors. We have a couple of contractors out there who have agreed to come on. And one of the things, I don't know about you, Brad, but it's still confusing to me. If you're going to do some work around your house, or a client is, when do you have to have a permit pulled? When do you not have to have one pulled? What, you know, and who does all of that? And so we're going to talk to
you have the plans to your house, right? That's another one.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm trying, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm trying to find the plans to my house too. My house was built in 97, and we have a lot of the stuff from the original build, which is nice, but we don't have a full set of plans. And I would love to have that. And I've been told, and I'm going to do this, I've been told you can go to the building department for the city of Jacksonville. And it makes sense, because every house that's built in this county, and every county pretty much in the U.S., has got to have permits. It's got to be approved, all of that stuff. And that starts with a set of plans. So those plans are somewhere. with Citi. And I think you can get a hold of those. So we'll let you know how to do that. I'm going to go try and I may take some video of that and just kind of go through that process and let people know. But there are things like that that, you know, are just important. And I think understanding from a contractor point of view, how they operate and how things work, and to give you some tips and those kind of things when you're interviewing a contractor or even for the DIYer, I think a good contractor might be able to tell you when you're over your head and when you're not. So it's kind of like, hey, don't try this. Just interesting stuff. But also a home inspector, when I was at the inspection the other day that I just mentioned, he's a really, really good guy there as an inspector, very thorough, really did a nice job. But he also has had experience at the city. He's worked for the city of Jacksonville as a supervisor of inspectors after that, you know, when they go out to inspect work and pass it and all that kind of stuff. So he's fully familiar with all of that process too. And he has agreed to come on. So I think that will be really good.
Good. We'll keep it real clear with him.
We'll do that. We'll do that. By the way, we haven't done this yet. We need to make sure that we remind people of who we are and how to get in touch with us. Brad, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, my name's Brad White. I'm a realtor and I'm in the Mandarin area, but you know what? I travel. Tomorrow I'm going to go up to Yulee, so I'll go just about any place. So my phone number is 904-770-5350.
Great. And I'm Brian Marsh. I'm a realtor. I'm more out at the beach area of Jacksonville, but my phone number is 904-535-5874. One thing I want to mention, because we should do this for our own selves to pat ourselves on the back, but Brad, you are extremely successful, and I don't want to call you a TikToker. Is that the proper term? But I mean, you have a tremendous following and you do extremely well. And I mention all of that for those who are listening to you. You want to find the rock and roll realtor, right?
That's it. That's it. Right. Exactly. Well, you know, I like to have fun, but it's also, you know, getting the word out. And it's really nice that people are recognizing and following me and watching some of my videos. I just did a video on a condo this last week and I got 170,000 views on TikTok. So you know, that's a good thing. So especially if anybody's trying to sell their home, you know, we're getting a lot of eyes on it that you typically wouldn't have in you know, just haven't listed on Zillow. So I love it. I have having fun with it.
Well, and Brad does a really, really good job on the TikTok videos. They're funny, they're entertaining, but they're very informative at the same time. It's going to, you know, you'll see a great tour of a home, get a really good idea of what the home's about, what the neighborhood's about, that kind of thing. Yep. We did one, I think this is probably the best one you ever did, I think, Brad, was one we discovered through a tour that we were doing on a house that a paintbrush comes with a house.
A paintbrush. Yes. We didn't know until we were walking around and there was some construction going on and there's the paintbrush right on.
It was an old dirty paintbrush. Yeah, it was pretty funny, but Brad does a great job. So I would highly encourage you guys to find him on TikTok and follow him because they're good videos. And if you're interested in what's available in Northeast Florida, Brad's all over the place. I mean, he's in St. Augustine. He's at the condo at the beach. He's in Avondale. He's, you know, Mandarin. He's everywhere. So he does a great job.
$200,000 homes. This morning I did a $4.2 million. So there's nothing that I won't go out and, you know, I'm like, you know, I want to go out there and show homes. And it's not just seeing the pictures because we all know we've been in these homes. We're like, wow, this doesn't look anything like the picture. Right. So actually be able to see that home. So
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And I am beginning a series. It'll be on YouTube of walking tours of neighborhoods. And I like to walk. It's how I get my exercise. And so I've decided, you know what, it'd be fun to go through and show people a lot of these neighborhoods. And, you know, Jacksonville has quite a few gated communities as well as other really nice neighborhoods. Yeah. And so I want to do something here in Queens Harbor where I live, but also maybe Marsh Landing and out the plantation, Deerwood, Deer Creek, all those places. But I've already shot part one of three parts at Atlantic Beach to show you what Atlantic Beach is all about. And so that's something I'll be promoting here pretty quickly. But is we both love
like,
to do.
Is it like Brian? You know, what would we have? You know, a name for it? Like, you know.
Yeah, on the I'm street. Calling myself the walking realtor. So the neighborhood tours by the walking realtor. And so the idea is just to go through. And what I'd like to do is find people. And anybody listening to this, if you have a neighborhood you want me to walk through, I'll be happy to do it with you if you want to, because I'd like to talk to people who live there. Because the idea here is to let people know not only what a neighborhood looks like, but who are the people that live there and why do they like living there? And so those are fun things that Brad and I do. And we enjoy doing as part of what we part of our duties as realtors. They're just fun things we like to do anyway, right?
Yep. And we like to talk about music.
We do. And by the way, you started this off and this whole podcast off talking about the weather changing and how nice it was getting outside. Yep. And that means the fun stuff and the good times are coming up. Football's on, but a lot of good music type things, right?
Yeah, this is the time. In fact, I'm working on a video for that. You know, this is the time when we can open up the sliders. We can turn the air off. We can go to the beach, we can go to the parks, we can go to the festivals, we can eat outside. All those 90 days are by us. And, you know, my favorite time of the year, the next 5 months, while it's, you know, nice and cool, we can have our heat off, our air off, all that stuff. So,
definitely. And by the way, just so you know, he said he's working on that video. You can't get him to stop doing it. He won't back down, right?
No, I won't back down. No, that's
so
that's
what's right. coming up with.
Because, yeah, we've got Tom Petty weekend coming up in, obviously it's in Gainesville, but October 10th through the 13th. And this is one, you know, any Tom Petty fans, any music fans, this is the best. And his guitarist is there. There are a lot of bands, and it's not just everybody playing Tom Petty music, but it's a Tom Petty weekend. So I will be there. Anybody else want to look for me, give me a holler and we'll meet up.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be great. Yeah. By the way, my wife is doing something. I'm going to be out of town for the next couple of days, but my wife is doing something tomorrow night with some friends of ours. Yep. I don't know if you've heard about this. It's something out at the beach. Apparently it's out of Jack's Beach, and you go out there and I don't know who's putting it on, but you pay a certain amount of money. You get some headphones and you can go out and sit on the beach and through the headphones, they play like music, a specific type of music.
Yeah.
And everybody goes out and sits on the beach and listens to the music and watches the dusk fall and all of that. So I thought it was like a pretty cool thing.
Beach Boys music? I mean, what is it? You know,
no, I think it's some kind of piano music or so. I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. I'll be interested to know exactly what it is, but it's a great concept. And
interesting. In fact, there's a pretty good following around Jacksonville. It's called a silent disco. Yeah, and there's a lot of them where you go in, you put your headphones on, and, you know, everybody's dancing, you know, but you got your headphones on, and so you can't really hear anything. So it's pretty good for us old people who want to go to bed early if you got a silent disco going on next door, right?
That's right. It doesn't matter if somebody's dancing around, you can't hear them.
Exactly. That's the way to do it.
All right, Brad, I don't know. I think we've covered everything for this one, but it's been a fun one like it always is. And again, we got some guests coming on, so keep listening. We do appreciate it. One more time, Brad, tell them who you are and how to get in touch with you.
Yeah, and real quick, I just want to shout out to Rambler Kane. He's our music guy. He's our he's our podcast sound, you know, that we have playing all the time. Love that. Love that you guys are listening. And again, mine's Brad. I'm in Northeast Florida. My phone number is 904-770-5350. Text me or call me.
And I'm Brian Marsh. I'm also in Northeast Florida, and I'd love to hear from you. Text, call, whatever at 904-535-5874. If you're looking for a realtor, call either one of us, but also we just want to hear suggestions and what you think about the podcast. So please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Brad. It's always good to see you.
You bet. Take care, everybody.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today on Real Clear, and thanks to Rambler Kane for our theme song, On Your Line. See you next time on Real Clear.